Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We thank you for joining us today. We're teaching a two-part series. This is part two of two on a topic that is of great interest to our people, and it is called Resist Not Evil. All right? Our key text is in Matthew 5, 38 and 39a. Matthew 5, 38 and 39a. And I enjoin you all to have, when we're doing our radio programs together, have your Bible. If you're comfortable with a Hebrew and interlinear, which means a Hebrew and English interlinear, if you have a Greek interlinear, you should have one also. If you don't, go get them. This is your Bible. It's God's word to you, and we're moving toward the original languages so you can understand its depth of meaning. What is a length and a depth, the length and a width and a height and a depth, okay? So have plenty of paper, a couple of pens, some food nearby, a room to exercise, and here we go.
All right? And if you're driving, don't worry about the pen and the paper. Just drive, get home, and turn us on.
Amen. Thank you. Matthew 5, 38 and 39a. Jesus is the speaker, Yeshua in Hebrew. Yeshua said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, do not resist him who is evil." Again, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, do not resist him who is evil." And I'll finish the rest of 39, verse 39. "But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Let's look deeply at what the Lord said. I'm going to pick up what we did last time on slapping. When they slapped someone on the cheek in the ancient world, it was considered a great insult, even more than if you were to physically punch or strike someone, due to the fact that the slap on the cheek considered here was an insult, thus to the character. A punch, the bruise would go away. But if someone hurts someone's character, that would last
a long time.
A long time. It could scar them inside for life, all right? That's brought out in Jewish law, so much so that in judicial damages that were awarded to an injured party, the person would be given a far greater sum for an attack on their character via the slap on the face, on the cheek, than if someone pushed or punched someone and knocked them down. Penalties for both, but far greater for the slap, even if the punch did more damage physically. We must not forget that. There's a terrible adage that I remember learning growing up. You know, sticks and stones may break
my bones, but words will never harm me.
Well, that would be nice, but it's quite the contrary. Right. So with all due respect, the Bible, and I have to take the Bible's point of view, differ to that totally. Words will scar and mar and cripple a soul inside. You may see them walking around outside, but inside they're walking as a cripple. So let's be careful, people. Our words. Everything's going to come through your words. By your words, you will come to saving faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, or self-condemn yourself to a life apart from God, which is what death and hell are about. God doesn't send anybody to hell. We, by saying no to God's will, God then says yes to ours, which is apart from him. When we say yes to our will, God is so much God, and he created us so much like him. He wants us to be with him, but he also gave us then the free will to say we love him, because love doesn't force. So on that point, if we say yes to our will, God says, "I respect you and made you like me," then yes to your will. That's what you want, not what I want.
Have it your way.
And that's their way is not God's way. Since Jesus is the way and there's no other way to God, then the person says my way, then it's not God. And that's sad. So people, please pay attention. Because all the knowledge and everything we're teaching is to bring you closer to God. And those of you that do know God is to help you really know God more and more. And I think all of us that are in relationships, and all of us are in relationships, married or not, one, with ourself, two, ideally with God, we all have family, we all have parents, and we have to learn how to develop those relationships ever more deeply. And if you really love someone, what I found with my dear wife, who I love as my soul, I found that I want to love her better the more I know her. So as we use that same concept and we come to love God and know God, the more we know about God, the more we can love him because we know that much more about him to love. And when we love him, that opens the pathway to really pursue the knowledge of God because we want to know more about the one who we love, okay? So love him and learn about him and learn about him to love him better, okay? That's why we're here, okay? All right. So Let's bring out a few texts to bring this together. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15. Quote, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. But always," how long?
Always.
Always. That's always.
All the time.
Exactly.
Yes.
All the time and always. Always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Now, it says always pursue. When you pursue someone, you're chasing them, right? Good,
Danielle.
Following them. You're after them. That's an active, conscious, willful decision. You're on the chase. I'm pursuing them. You pursue, all right? Remember, we did an earlier teaching on Psalm 23, and in many of your Bibles, it'll say, "When goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." One of the most beloved psalms known by people around the world for centuries. But if I may, for you, the translation of that in a stricter sense, and we're much, much more the literal, brings out more depth. And if I can suggest this for you, it really translates goodness and loyal love or loving kindness shall pursue me. Goodness and loyal love or loving kindness, goodness and loving kindness shall pursue me. They're after you. When God sends it after you, so someone says, "Well, what's the matter?" Nothing's the matter. Goodness and mercy are chasing me, and they're going to catch me, and that's a good thing. And they all said,
"Amen."
Amen. So see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And the last time I checked, y'all also includes the evil people too, right?
Yes.
So go after those people, and actually pursue them more. They need more good. So go after them. All right? They need more help. The same thought is brought out in 1 Peter chapter 3, 9 to 12. I'll quote the whole thing for context. Not, I'm putting the emphasis there, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. What?
Blessing.
Blessing. All right? Knowing that you are called to this, that you may receive a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. If you love life and you want to see good days and have a good life, you're enjoined here to refrain your tongue from evil.
Evil.
Exactly. And his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. It's not only enough to turn away from evil, but you have to turn from and turn to. So your back to something is your face to something else. So turn your back to evil and your face to good. And let him seek peace, so you be a seeker of peace, and pursue it. There's that same concept now with a different biblical writer, because God's fingerprint is on the whole Bible. And although different humans, God uses them like different colored pens, painting a beautiful picture of truth to the whole world. All right? And let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Joel, it seems like I'm admonished to return good for evil.
Right.
But when I'm hurt, I find it very difficult to return evil that's been done to me with good. How do I do that?
That's a common problem. Great question. I think that's echoed by many people.
Yes.
Sometimes when people try, they will go and even they'll go to church meetings and they'll or in their private place and or they'll sit down and start praying and go, "Oh God, yeah, I love your enemies. Forgive them, Father. I love them. I really hate them, but you said to love them, so I love them. And amen." And usually those are the short prayers that we have, you know, and they don't really work, do they?
Nope.
Usually we end up more frustrated. We haven't found peace in our heart yet. We've tried it, but we haven't believed what we said. So what do we do? Let's go through the steps. All right, have your pens and paper ready. Step one, your healing comes from God. Revenge doesn't heal.
No.
Healing comes from God. So this is an expression I've used for years. I want you people to get used to. Go vertical. You go right to God. God is your healer. God is your God. God is your friend. You're not going to get healing from the person yet, maybe never.
Right, right.
Maybe they forgot about the abuse they did to you or don't care. and you're still bugged with it 20 years later, got four more locks on your doors, you're the prisoner in your house, and they're still walking around free. And you're still trying to forgive them and be a good Christian, and you're angry and hurt, and they don't even know who you are.
So you're still in bondage.
You're in bondage. That's trouble.
Right.
So what do? You get out of that. You immediately run to God. Run to God. Talk to God. Tell him you're hurt. Tell him your pain. Tell him the problem. And say, Lord, you're my healer.
Yes.
By your wound, Yeshua, I'm healed. Isaiah 53:5. Yes. You're my healer. You're my savior. You're my fortress. You're my high tower. You're my everything. I'm hurt. Hold me. Heal me. Keep me close to you. You're the sun on my right hand. You're my shade. You're my everything.
Right.
Get your healing from God. Don't expect the other person who did harm to turn around necessarily and 5 minutes later do good. If they were going to do good, then they wouldn't have done harm in the beginning. So you're not going to get it. So your job is, one, go vertical, get your healing from God. And remember, revenge doesn't heal. Revenge will bind you to the other person and make your life worse.
Right.
All right?
Right.
It's going to make your life worse, people. And I think many people, I remember talking to a person recently about that, that God gave us to counsel, and she was having a difficult time with a boss at work for 1 year. And I said, well, how's it going? She still has the problem. It's a year later. That's a year out of her life.
Right.
There's no advance. There's no progress. She's still downtrodden by it and downcast. It's no healing. So we went through steps for her as God led us what to do. So what is our first step? Your healing. You go vertical. You go to God for your healing.
Yeah.
Two, because revenge and revenge, you remember, doesn't heal. Revenge binds us to the other person, and we're going against what God said. Yes.
It binds us to the other person or that wrongdoing, the evil.
Both. It binds us to the other person's wrong, and since that action is coexistent, their wrong to us, we're returning wrong to them. The wrongs tie us together. Because they're done with an object of the wrong, meaning towards someone.
Right,
it's
right.
About someone. It's not just the wrong action. It has
right,
a direction,
right,
a
right.
focus. There's a person
right,
that we're
I
directing,
see.
Like they directed it to us.
We're
saying, here, back to you, and that's all wrong. Two wrongs make at least two wrongs.
Yes.
All right? Now, then what we do is we have to then, as we're free, we're healed from God, we have to do good. Now, a lot of people say, I don't feel like doing good to them or praying for them.
Right.
You got it?
Got it.
It didn't say if you feel like it. It said to do it. Doing is not a requirement for feeling. You do it, and then you'll feel good later. Doing is a choice of the will. Feeling's a result and action of the heart. You can't make yourself emotionally do so. I mean, you have to will your mind to do something. I'll give you a case we had with a young lady. And what happened is someone broke into her apartment, tied her up, all right? And it was a horrible scene, and she was just terrified, okay? Long story short. And then we saw her. She was economically unable to move. She was in a terrible strait, okay? And she asked us what to do. Well, we prayed about it, and I told her, I said, you know how to bake? She kind of looks at me with a face I could have won a Kodak camera contest with. Yeah, I said, well, and the guy's mother who broke into her place, the mom lived upstairs. She's in the same building. She's terrified. She wants to move, but she can't. She can't afford to move. So that's how she goes home every day, some years ago. And I told her, can you bake? Yeah, I said, well, go bake some cookies. She kind of looks at me, but thank God she was obedient. She had already gone to church. She had already prayed. She still came back with all the same problems. She was still hurt. She was still confused. She was still in fear, and she didn't feel any better. She could, though, do something, so she did something. She made cookies. She brought them upstairs to the mother. When she brought them upstairs to the mother's face was wonderful. The mother received them, and she never heard about this guy anymore. She came, and next time I saw her with a smile from ear to ear, because she did good. She returned good for evil, and the good doing resulted in good feeling. You with me?
Yes.
Then, from doing good, in this case, it was making cookies, all right? So she made cookies, so now, and she was free enough from what she did, it changed the whole atmosphere. It changed everybody. And now her feelings were good. She came in with a big smile on her face next time, because you can will to do, then your emotions will follow, and then they will do just fine. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Quite dramatic. But if we do the steps carefully, then you'll find it easy then to pray, easy then to move forward, instead of have a year and year after year of scars that do not go away. They do not change, and we end up becoming encased and entombed by scars and hurts. It's harder for us to relate to people. It's harder for us to love other people. It's harder for us to trust other people. For some people, unfortunately, it's harder than to trust God. And we get into some very bad tailspins here in our theologies and our heart, and then it's hard to do almost anything. We become bound inside, and then how do you live? So if we do it this way, what? Your healing is from God. You don't seek revenge. Because it binds you to the person, you can do something. So find something to do and keep doing it, even if it's by rote, because eventually your emotions are going to kick in. Just start believing in what you're doing. You have an action. And as you're doing it, things will change. Then the situation will change as a result of an action. The emotions then will follow. Then prayer is going to be from your heart and soul, and you can really have a breakthrough there. And if you put your feet out on it and walk it out, you'll see the walk will work as long as it's God-directed. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next part, Matthew 5:44. Remember, that's in the portion we just were talking about. A few verses later, Yeshua is saying, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good." Isn't that what we just said? Right? Do good. In this case, it was cookies. It may be something very different for you. But do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Romans 12:14. Blessed. See the same thought. I want you to see how the Bible speaks with the same tone and language. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Again, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. And I enjoin you to read verses 17 to 21 also. I'll mention them now. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Again, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. That's, you know, thank you, Lord. That's just what the girl did. She made cookies for the moms. You brought them up to the mom, and mom took care of business, and God took care of all the rest and everything. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. And then when you do what God said, God's watching over his word to perform it, and now God's on the scene with it.
Right.
He's always there, but we, by wrong action, can set up a barrier which God said, "You're not lined up with my will. I told you to do mine, not yours. If it's yours, then it's your play."
Right.
Now, when you do God's work, then he's there doing it his way. And no one and nothing will resist God's will. Yes,
otherwise, we're working on pride. Like, I am not going to take, I'm not making any cookies for them.
Right.
That's pride.
And
I'm not doing it God's way. I'm doing it my way. I'm not going to go and make cookies and bring it to anyone.
And then what happens?
Then you're
bound. We're going to act out of hurt.
Right.
And we may end up then hurting someone we love, because that hurt's going to find an outlet somewhere.
Right.
And our usual outlet is with the people we trust the most. They get our best and our worst. So you explode with 3 years of old pain to someone you love in a situation that just lends itself, unfortunately, to that. And that explosion, you're going to probably have to take a lot of work to fix. And you still haven't dealt with the person where the problem was originally.
Right.
Now you have more problems, and it gets to be a cascade. And you end up in Christian counseling, which is a wise move for people. And if we're careful, though, we can prevent the problem before it begins by doing it the way God said and live without a problem.
God's ways always the best.
Amen. Well said. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God says, it will not overcome you. You overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
Take sharp notice. This is not pacifism. But it is an active choice, actively doing of the good. You actively do good. You do it, all right? You love your enemies. You pray for your enemies. Because remember, inside your enemy, there's a self-made prisoner. They're in a prison, and they're locked on the inside, All right? They're in prison. They haven't yet lived the dream that God has designed them to live. They haven't yet sung the song that God has made them to sing. They're stuck. They're hurt. They're screaming a silent scream. And only those people that belong to God can really hear and reach them with God's arms through yours and hold them and bring them to a saving place and free people, because God's people are free, and free people free people. Continuing, remember, what did I say? This is not pacifism. Pacifism, it is not. It's a biblical response. Now, pay strict attention to this here. What do you do in a case if someone breaks into your house? All right, let's take a real life case. Unfortunately, a lot of people have had homes that are broken into. Robbery, theft, murder, rape, in a person's own private home. All right? Now, the Bible is very clear on this. And in Exodus 22, all right, verse 2, if a thief is found breaking in, and he is struck so he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed, unquote. The thinking is this, that the thief that breaks in is ready to commit murder to anybody in a household. So you, in defending yourself and everybody in the household, are not guilty of murder if you strike them in self-defense. This is nothing to do about revenge, people. If you strike them in self-defense and they die, that is in the Bible, all right? That is your right to do. You don't sit back and let them hurt, harm your family, your children. You are to defend and take care of what God has given you to take care of. You are a steward. Protect your people. Now, in the Mishnah, which is the Jewish oral law, in a portion called Nezikim, that deals with damages, and it's the laws dealing with damages, in a section called Sanhedrin 8, Mishnah 7, all right, that is also brought out. Another reference in the Talmud, which is Jewish, you taught the Jewish people, a Talmud is the oral law. It's big. It's 2.5 million words. In one of my bookshelves at home, it spans 30 volumes. It goes across my whole top shelf, and the shelf is good wood, but it's bending, all right? It is big. And that, if you talk to Jewish rabbis and Jewish scholars around the world, that is basically how they walk out their faith, all right? And the Gemara, which is a portion of the Talmud, says this. It says, what is the reason for the law of breaking in? That's what we just read in Exodus. And this is the commentary on the Bible recorded by the Jews speaking to other Jews, Jew to Jew, about what does this mean? What is the reason for the law of breaking in? Because it is certain that no man is inactive where his property is concerned. Therefore, this one, that's the thief, must have reasoned, if I go there, he or the owner will oppose me and prevent me. But if he does, I'll kill him. Hence the Torah decreed, if he come to slay thee, forestall him by slaying him. You are actually allowed to defend yourself and not wait for them to go shoot you or harm your family first. By virtue of the fact they're in your house, they have reasoned that, well, there may be somebody in the house. Doesn't matter. I'm breaking in anyway. And they're not just going to say, excuse me, may I have your teacups, you know, and go take your things. If you're in a way, it is not unreasonable, unfortunately, in a world today, that they will do harm and some of the most heinous crimes that are out there today. So be sensitive to that, all right? Now, this pacifism is a non-biblical concept that's going around today. Self-defense is expected, and defense of your home and family, defense of your country in the face of aggression, is tacitly understood. However, revenge is condemned. Returning evil for evil is condemned. Now, in closing, we are told not to fret, not to be angry, not to get vexed, not to get all worked up. Why? Because of the wicked. Don't get worked up because of the wicked and what they do. Why? Their days are numbered, okay? They will be vanquished and vanish, never to be heard of again in this world one day. War victory is in Christ the Messiah, and we will ultimately realize our victory, all of us, in the future. God promised the land is for the humble, and God is God alone or by himself. So we will inherit the land. In the meantime, we overcome evil with what?
Good.
The good, exactly. So trust, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in a land, people, and be pastured by faith. That's a quote from Psalm 37, verse 3. This has been an absolute blessing for me. And
me
I
too.
Thank you for you too, Danny.
Yes.
Truth, when you know it. See, people, truth doesn't set you free. It says you shall
know the truth.
And the truth that you know will set you free. So people, know this truth and get free quickly in Jesus' name. And they all said, Amen.
Amen.